Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 1:26 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 24th. We've had quite a bit of action in markets today, but I thought we'd kick off with silver because it's seems to be firming nicely here from around the $17 level. It hasn't quite unwound all of the overextension relative to the trend mean, but this does look like positive action. At least it's firming within this range that's persisted over the last month. It doesn't completely obviate the potential that we're going to get a further contraction that would completely unwind that overextension, but it's certainly looking like we're starting to see some additional steadying. And I think it is important, despite the volatility in the short term, to pay attention to the medium term charts, because when we look at the longer term, $20 was an area of resistance back in 2016, and it was a natural area where we might get a little bit of consolidation and reassessment. We've certainly had that, but the tone of the market looks completely different now. It has clearly broken the three-year downtrend. This looks like a consolidation. The next move could quite easily take it through $20, confirm the base completion, and suggest that we are back in a clear medium-term demand-dominated environment for silver. When we then think about what's going on in platinum, well, platinum did pull back more, but it rallied really rather impressively yesterday, followed through on the upside in here today. That is confirming support in the region of the trend mean. Very similar story here, though. It got right up to $1,000 and then pulled back. It did that on a number of occasions in, well, even back in 2015, but especially in 2017. And now it is firming again. It's held a sequence of higher reaction lows since late 2018. The first few were incremental in nature, but certainly the pace of those higher reaction lows has picked up over the last while. And gold prices are also steadying within their range, and that $1,450 area continues to offer support. This still looks like a first step above the base. It would be, I think, a bit rash to conclude just yet that we've seen the lows, but because there is still that sequence of lower rally highs that's been going on now since the beginning of September. But we are starting to see some better action, and I think as long as gold is sustaining this break up and out of the six-year base formation, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Well, before we move on and look at the dollar, let's look at palladium, because that has been such a clear leader. Obviously, it's both a precious metal and an industrial metal. It was up in an additional $38 in here today, pushing on to another new high. The persistence and consistency of this move, particularly up since the beginning of August, is really quite impressive. And with one little range above another, and each of these ranges being less than $50 in amplitude, there is obviously an increasingly wide overextension, and we know that it is capable of pulling back in a violent manner, but as long as it is holding the region of the trend mean, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. The dollar index has steadied from the region of the trend mean once more. Not in an especially dynamic manner, but it is certainly steadying, and it was up in here today. Today was Mario Draghi's swan song in terms of his press conferences after ECB meetings. Then Christine Lagarde is taking over at the end of the month. There has been a very concerted effort to try and influence her among the various members of the governing body for the ECB over the last few months. There has been a great deal of public airing of differences of opinion among the various representatives of different countries within the EU. There is obviously a tussle going on for control and influence of the new chair. And not least because she's not an economist. She is basically a lawyer and politician rather than a central banker. And yet she is now at the reins of potentially the most important, or at least the second most important, central bank in the world. Now, when we look at the size of the ECB's balance sheet, there are a couple of different points. The first is that they are embarking once more on quantitative easing. And of course, we all know what quantitative easing means. It's that they're going to be buying more bonds. But of course, then the question is, what bonds are they going to buy? Because they already hold €4.6 trillion worth of bonds, and they're already pushing up against the limits of, or their self-imposed limits of, how many bonds from each individual country they're allowed to hold. Well, what that suggests is that they may have to accept bonds of lower credit quality. In other words, they may have to start accepting corporate bonds. And that's obviously a risk for the balance sheet, but it is really rather stimulative. So when we look at what's going on in terms of the European stock market, well, the Euro Stoxx index pushed on to a new closing high in here today. It is increasingly looking like a successful breakout from this range that's persisted for 6 months. It's looking quite likely that we're going to go back up and test the psychological 400 level. I think it's really worth taking the time to look at the long-term chart, because the European stock market has been going sideways now for 19 years. And it is still quite a long way from completing this range. And in order to do that, it would need to sustain a move above 450. Now, if we look at the Europe stocks, then we're presented with a rather different chart pattern, because it's a lot closer to completing this 19-year range, that 400 level on the Europe Stoxx index, which includes the UK, Switzerland, Sweden, Denmark, and Norway, is a lot closer to completing this very lengthy period of consolidation. Well, it's being certainly aided by the FTSE 100. FTSE is continuing to firm from this 7,000 level, and it has been also putting in a first step above this very long-term ranging pattern for much of the last 3 years. The only market that is close to looking similar is the French market, and it is also pushing on to test the upper side of its range. The DAX index in Germany, which is total return in nature, has already broken up and out of its range. What I find particularly interesting at present is we're getting increasing commonality in the automotive sector. Volkswagen has broken out and continues to extend this breakout from what was effectively a year-long base formation. If we look at what's going on in terms of Toyota, then when we think about the longer term, then they obviously have an awful lot of money that they have to invest in new electric vehicles. They have to do that because it's being imposed upon them by stiffer regulations. Then, of course, you have the very impressive move that we had today in Tesla. So we're certainly seeing that some interest is returning to the automotive sector, and it's been a particularly difficult environment over the last few years. Kia Motors, in fact, has been leading on the upside, and it bottomed at the end of last year. It's been engaged in this first step above the Type 2 base for most of the last couple of months, and it is now exhibiting some support in the region of the trend mean. But it has clearly broken what was basically a six-year downtrend. Well, what this is suggesting is that one of the reasons why the automotive sector was doing so badly was because of the need to spend an extraordinary amount of money on retooling because of the diesel scandals, then the desire to try and start making more electric vehicles. But then, of course, it was also because of Chinese demand. and peak car, and certainly the more onerous ownership laws that came into effect in a number of Chinese cities, which curtailed demand for new vehicles. Well, even Geely has been exhibiting some evidence of breaking up and out of its range. Great Wall Motors has not quite been able to do that just yet, but it has at least lost downward momentum and is more of a ranging environment than is still a downtrend. Actually, when we think about what's going on in terms of Hong Kong, well, the protests continue, and there is increasing speculation that Carrie Lam is going to be ousted by the central government in Beijing and replaced before her term ends. When we think about what's going on in terms of the Hang Seng, it continues to hold around this 25,000 point level. I would continue to urge some caution about being too bullish about what's going on in terms of the Chinese economy, despite the rebound we're getting in the automotive sector, because the Shenzhen B shares are right on their lows, and we're going to have to see a clear bounce from this level if we're to give the benefit of the doubt to support building. Then when we think about the Indian market, well, it is pausing around the peaks from September, but this continues to look like a recovery scenario. Cutting the corporate tax rate was a major initiative. In fact, when there was a report released today about the most competitive countries in the world, 2 points that I thought really stood out was that it is now easier to do business in China than it is in France. Well, that says a lot about the desire of China to improve the ease of doing business and the complete absence of that desire in France. Then there is the additional point that India has gone from, I think, 130th on the list to 69 and over the course of the last 3 years because of very clear institutional and government-led initiatives to try and make it easier to do business in the country. And that is a medium-term positive. Now, when we then think about what's going on in terms of Wall Street, well, we've had quite a bit of volatility in here today, not least because of various earnings, and the S&P 500 finished on the upper side of its range for the day, and it is within really only a few points of breaking on the upside. The NASDAQ is also right in the region of its peak and was in positive territory in here today. Amazon should have announced their earnings, and it is down in here after and I think this reality here for Amazon is that retail sales are peaking or are at least under pressure in here. That is certainly something that I've seen in terms of watching what's going on with Mrs. Tracy's business. When we look at the share, it has been right below the region of the trend mean. It needed to pop on the upside. Chances are that it is going to be breaking on the downside tomorrow. That is, I think, one of the clearest factors that we have to, or one of the clearest barometers we have for looking at the health of the U.S. consumer. So if the consumers are curtailing their spending, it's because they're worried about the economy. We certainly haven't had a big uptick in unemployment, but manufacturing employment is falling in a number of Midwestern states. So there is that. There is also the fact that when we look at container loadings and the traffic through Los Angeles port, well, I was down there 2 weeks ago, and it was like a ghost town. And that, I think, is the that is the slowest I've seen it in at least 3 years. So that is a direct response to the tariffs. Now, When we then think about what's going on in terms of the commodity complex, well, we've looked at the precious metals and they are firming. And the continuous commodity index is continuing to hold this 400-point level. It's right in the region of the sequence of lower rally highs. So this is an important area where we need to see it break the sequence of lower rally highs in order to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Nickel prices are also steadying in here. That is, I think, in direct response to the positive view being taken on Tesla. The more important point is that it is bouncing from this $15 area and that this is now holding the breakout. So that is rather positive. Copper is still in no man's land. It has not so far been able to push back above the trend mean. The sequence of lower rally highs is intact, but it is at least pausing around the $2.50 area. It just has to do more in order to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Then when we think about what's going on in terms of the oil price, it was in positive territory again in here today. There is certainly some evidence of support around the $55 area. When we look at West Texas Intermediate, then that area is around the $50 area, and that is a Rubicon for a lot of producers in terms of their profitability. As long as that level is holding, then there is unlikely to be too much damage done to the onshore domestic market in terms of the U.S. energy producers. It's going to have to sustain a move back above $60, however, to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment beyond the short term. Natural gas prices, or natural gas loading and storage is at a rather high level for this time of the year, but the price has already, I think investors have already priced a lot of that in, and the price is in fact steadying, and it is holding that $2 area. The most important thing that's happened over the course of the last year is that sequence of lower rally highs was broken by the rally put in September, and now we have higher reaction lows. So despite the fact that there is a great deal of bearishness being expressed about natural gas, the price action is telling us that we have a low of at least near-term significance. Then I think we are at an important juncture for a significant number of currencies. The Brazilian real, for example, tried to push on to a new recovery high in here today, but was not quite able to hold it. We've had a fairly significant pullback in terms of the real over the course of the last, of the dollar over the last few days. But now the question is whether it can be improved upon. Coffee prices in lockstep with the real got right up to test the region of the trend mean and are pulling back from it in here today. When we look at, continue to look at some of these commodities, the cotton price had rallied rather significantly over the course of the last 3 or 4 weeks. It's now in the region of the trend mean. This is a natural area where we might anticipate some resistance coming through. And I think we're probably going to see a little bit of pause and consolidation. But again, here is another example of a chart where the medium-term sequence of lower rally highs has been broken. The big question now is the extent to which it is going to be able to continue to hold the sequence of higher reaction lows and then push through and establish itself back above the trend mean. I think it's all to play for in terms of commodity prices. They are really quite low. There is the clear potential that we are going to have some inflationary outcome. When we look at what's going on in terms of the 10-year Treasury yield, it is at around 1.77% right now. We've had some very large upward dynamics in terms of the yield. It needs to do more than it has done in order to break the downtrend, but we do have a higher reaction low. I think it is quite likely that we are going to see yields push back up rather significantly following the failed break below 1.5%. with wage gains, record low unemployment, social unrest rising all over the world, commodity prices starting to do better, gold certainly doing better, oil prices starting to push higher, gasoline prices much higher than they would normally be because of taxes and regulation, regulatory taxes on top of sales taxes. That's all compounding in terms of the burden, in terms of inflationary pressures. Now, that isn't something that's readily captured by the kinds of statistics that central banks pay attention to. I think it's likely they're going to cut interest rates again this month. But again, that kind of stimulative action is also inflationary in nature. It's quite natural that we would get an inflation scare in the latter stages of a bull market. And it is likely that we are in the latter stages of a bull market. And I think the big determining factor is going to be the outlook on the unemployment front. I think in that, when we then think about, well, what could cause a big spike in inflation? Well, Uber, for example, has been rallying. If that were to start deteriorating even further, well, then that would represent an existential risk for the millions of people that rely on both Lyft and Uber for a livelihood. They may not technically be employees, but they can certainly be unemployed. And that is obviously going to be influenced by the ability of these companies to continue to source credit from the markets. Well, that's not a problem right now because high yield spreads have been contracting. We have plenty of liquidity being made available. The European markets are starting to do better. The Japanese market is doing better. China is at least stable. Wall Street is on the cusp of breaking on the upside. Gold is doing better. Bonds look really quite overextended. The massive quantity of money that has moved into bonds and sustained negative yields for most of the last 6 months is probably going to start looking for a home. That could quite easily represent the fuel to push into stocks, to start pulling cash in off the sidelines, and deliver the kind of bubbly activity that really would be a trend-ending signal. I think certainly when we think about the activity that we've had on stocks, where we've had now three different occasions in the last decade when the S&P 500 has gone sideways for approximately 18 months and then broken out and rallied spectacularly, then people are going to start to think about that if we do in fact see these markets pushing on the upside. The risk, of course, is that the poor earnings that we're seeing on Amazon are going to sour sentiment and we get a failure at this level. And then the alternative scenario is that the markets have already done as well as they're going to do, that we're going to see them pull back below the trend mean, encounter resistance in the region of the trend mean, break below not just the 200-day moving average, but the 1,000-day moving average. That would then clearly break the decade-long uptrend. We're a long way from that. And in the short period, in the short term, I think the more likely scenario is we see new highs before we see new lows. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.